The word today is repent. Welcome to The Word Today with the late pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. We get bogged down in our sins, but God wants us to be free, so He calls us to repentance. And when we do, God forgives and restores us. Here from our archives, to help us understand the importance of repentance, is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Repent.
Many times, people think of going to church and hearing a message that they hope will make them happy. Well, I'm sure that's okay, that's all right, but if that's the only kind of message they ever hear at their church, is one that makes them happy, 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 it kind of reminds me of the warning God made. He said, there are those that say peace, 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 when there is no peace. You see, God in His Word has made it very clear that there are some messages we aren't going to want to hear. Every time Christ preached, somebody was offended. Every time the prophets preached, somebody was offended. You see, people don't like to hear the word repent. And yet, the word repent is a major theme all the way through the Bible. Whenever the people of God in the Old Testament would get off track and start wandering away from God, God would send a prophet, and a very strong voice would declare, God wants you to repent. He feels that you are going away from Him, and He wants you to forsake your sins. He wants you to repent and return to Him and ask His forgiveness. As a matter of fact, some of the prophets weren't too popular because the people didn't want to hear that kind of a message. They would rather hear, you know, what the Bible says, they would rather have their ears tickled. You know, just in plain common sense, let me get back to plain sociology here and just sidetrack myself for a minute. Anyone, and I'm including those who are not believers, anyone who knows any common sense knows that if there's somebody constantly praising you, oh, you're so wonderful, oh, you're the best, and on, you better be careful of that person. They probably have an ulterior motive. They probably are just trying to please you so that they can get something out of you. It's not natural if you have a normal communication with someone that they're constantly praising you and constantly flattering you. You better be careful there. Well, let me get back to the scriptural point here. If somebody is always being told, you're so wonderful and you are just so great, there's no way you could improve, that is not the biblical message. I hope you don't have a preacher like that, that only wants to tickle your ears. I hope you have a preacher that wants to preach what God wants you to hear. There's sometimes some difference between what you want to hear and what God wants you to hear. Now, a faithful preacher at the end of a sermon will ask God, okay, God, is that what you wanted me to say? Now, if he discovers it wasn't, then he better go and make some corrections and get things straightened out. But if in the eyes of God, he knows, God, I tried to preach what you wanted me to say. I preached your word. I know it's in agreement with your will. Then you let the chips fall. And if somebody is offended by that, as I mentioned, they often were offended at the prophets. They often were offended at John the Baptist. They often were offended at what Jesus said, especially when they called for repentance. When that happens, they're going to be irritated, they're going to be challenged, they're going to be asked to take things seriously, they might be asked to grow, and we know what happens when people are asked to grow. They don't like that struggle. It's like giving birth to something. You know, there's some pain involved. You might have to have some introspection. You might have to have a review of your life. You might have to look honestly at what's wrong. You might have to give up some pet sins. things that you enjoy secretly and you think you're getting away with it, and then comes the call to repentance and God says, I know what you're doing. I don't like it. I'm not pleased. Repent of your sin. Eliminate that from your life and ask me to help you by sending the Holy Spirit into your life to give you a stronger will and a stronger determination to be able to resist sin. In fact, God promises in His Word that there is not a single sin that comes our way that He does not immediately provide a stronger faith and a stronger opportunity to resist that sin if we call upon Him and ask for His help. So, you see, there's a commitment involved here. There is a decision involved here. So when you hear the word repent, and you hear it repeated, and you hear that call to follow Christ, I hope in the future you will say, Pastor, I needed to hear that. I really needed to hear those words. I was drifting, and I was falling away, and I wasn't even paying serious attention to my faith. So thank you for calling me to repentance. Now, I want to just add one more little warning here. I'm not trying to get you to feel remorse and depression and discouragement. I think there should be remorse for sin. Yes, there should be sorrow for sin. But I'm not trying to get you into a depressed mood, into a mood where you feel negative. That's not the goal of the gospel, and that's not the goal of any preacher, and that certainly is not the will of God. What God wants to do is shake us up with that call to repentance. He doesn't want us to enjoy sin. He doesn't want us to wallow around in sin like a pig. He doesn't want us to be immoral. He doesn't want us to try to fake Him out as though we say one thing with our mouth, but our lives are leading immoral and imperfect lives that are not at all attempting to serve God. We know we're sinful, and God certainly knows that. He's the one that pointed it out to us, what these evil things are inside of our heart that we're born with into the human race. And He identifies them for us. He knows how to have us self-examine ourselves. And nobody is perfect. We know that. But He wants us to struggle with it. He wants us to improve. He wants us to grow. Have you noticed that the Christian life, if it's real, has to be growing more and more mature? Do you know that that's true of everything that is alive? That's true of flowers. It's true of animals. It's true of weeds. It's true of fish. It's true of trees. It's true of anything that is alive. If it's going to continue to live, it must grow. If it stops growing, it's going to die. That's also true of our faith. If your faith is alive and well, it will be growing. You will become more and more mature. You will fight against sin. You will resist temptation instead of giving in to it. And in that struggle, God promises to be with you and to bless you. So this is why the call of repentance is so important. It is a daily need. Don't think you can just do this once a week or once a month. This is a daily need. Our sin permeates everything we think and do, and we're surrounded totally by sin. This unholy three, as Luther once called it, the devil, the world around us, and our own sinful flesh. Believe me, there's enough temptations there every day to overwhelm any of us. And so we need to be in this battle day by day by day. That's why being nourished with God's Word is not good enough to just be in church for an hour, hour and a half, or in Bible class for an hour once a week. That you're not going to get very strong that way. It has to be a daily commitment, a daily walk, daily getting into God's Word, daily remembering that Christ is with you, daily walking with God. It has to be a decision. It's a constant decision made because God has brought us into His kingdom. We have the opportunity to make that choice because He has converted us. If you ever start feeling, boy, am I great, and oh, man, God ought to be tickled at how good I am, Boy, pride is such an ugly sin. C.S. Lewis was right when he wrote about this many years ago. He said, pride is the father of all other sins. What he meant was that once you start feeling proud and you think that you can do what you want to do instead of what God wants you to do, you're going to really be falling into a lot of sin, because then you, in essence, what you're saying is, I know what God wants, but I'm going to do what I want because that will please me better. See? And so God really detests pride. As a matter of fact, I would have to say I would agree with C.S. Lewis. When he wrote those words, I completely agree that pride, if it goes unchallenged and if it keeps growing, can get to the point where you think you're pretty good. And in essence, you're saying, well, maybe I need some help from God, but I think if God is fair, he'll know I'm trying. And so if I'm trying hard enough, God will save me anyway because I'm pretty good. I'm a whole lot better than a lot of other people I know. Well, that is such a horrendous, don't ever try to say a prayer like that because it's so wrong. We need to be humbling ourselves. God has pointed that out over and over. Humble yourself and come to me, and I will forgive you. I will have mercy on you. I will give you grace. That means undeserved blessing, something we did not earn, something we have not deserved. He will give us a blessing, and that blessing is forgiveness. So when you come and seek repentance, God always hears you. God always answers. He always blesses you. Now, if you've been following along these lines, I think you will understand basically when I say now at the conclusion of this message, when I say to you, if you truly repent, it will lead you to joy because God will guarantee you your forgiveness. He will assure you that your sins have been washed away. He will reconfirm that you are on your way to heaven and that someday you'll be there with him eternally because of what his son Jesus Christ did for you. And so ultimately, the next time you hear a call to repentance, it might be tough to hear. It might be a challenge. It might be something that you will feel negative about at first. But ultimately, if you truly repent, repentance leads to joy.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word Today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word Today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word Today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word Today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word Today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word Today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.